Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Hey, here we go. Hey, guys, I wanted to just, if you've never, just really quick, Pastor Mike, I'm going to bring Pastor Mike up here. I just want to give a brother of mine, this guy, I had the honor of doing, this is Earl Edmondson has just a few minutes. I'm going to give Pastor Mike a little bit of extra time towards the end, so be real patient with me, because we're going to just keep you a few more minutes longer. But I just want to bring Brother Earl up here with Mitzi. Had the privilege of doing his bride's memorial service when God took her home. And he wanted to greet you because he has been touched that you have welcomed him as such a treasured member of St. Charles River Church. This is Dan Edmondson's father and Debbie's, I think, dad too. Do you love him as a dad? Earl, come here, buddy. Come here for a second. Stand right here. Just stand right here. And I want you to just greet everybody in the Lord and Mitzi. Hi, Mitzi. Mitzi was there at the memorial and had a tough time saying goodbye to. Here you go, Mitzi. Got it?
You got her?
I got her. I'm the guardian of the Mitzi here. Here you go, Mitzi. Go right ahead, Earl. Share.
Well, I'd like to say, above all, how much I love all you guys and how much I appreciate you welcoming me and this little animal into your midst. Pastor insisted. I got to obey the pastor, so... We
love dogs.
Yeah, she was in my wife's
service.
As
part of the service.
Yeah, and the funeral home insisted Mitzi be a part of it because they knew how much my wife loved her. And she's all I have left after 62 years of marriage.
Yeah.
I know Mike's not wanting me to speak very long, but... I'll make a short story
well, we'll
long.
We'll get you up here again.
But I served 2 years in the United States Army. 3 years in the United States Marine Corps. And 40 years in the Army of the Devil.
Wow.
But I'll give a short testimony of what brought me to the Lord. It was in 1972. I drove a taxi cab in the streets of St. Louis for 25 years, and that was a hoot. Believe me, especially after I became a Christian. But one night, I was working the evening shift at the cab company, and I was on my way home. It was Christmas Eve, 1972. And as I drove through Forest Park out Highway 40, I saw two shadowy figures walking beside the highway. And it was cold, wind was blowing. And being a cab driver, you can't be reluctant to pick people up or you wouldn't last very long. So I pulled over and they got in my cab. And I had two boxes of donuts in the front seat. And they got in the back seat. And I told him they could have some donuts. Well, he reached up and he got some donuts. And a cab driver always keeps his rear view mirror focused on the back seat in case somebody wants to, you know, do any bodily harm. Well, to my surprise, the woman opened up her cloak and she had a little baby feeding at her breast. I nearly turned loose of the steering wheel because I didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
But it was surreal. I mean, this was an epiphany for me. And we got out to Chesterfield, and at that time there was an all-night filling station just before you drop off into what then was called the Gumbo Flats. Some of you remember that.
Yeah, sure.
And so we pulled into the service station, and they had told me, says, we're only strangers passing through. And by that time, I was wondering what's going on.
Sure.
Because I wasn't a Christian. This put a kink in my lifestyle. And so I told them, you wait here at the service station, and I'll drive, because I didn't want to let them out, because there was no other service stations between Chesterfield and Highway K. And so I told them to wait. I tried to get them some help. And I drove out to Highway K, and that time it's just a two-lane, little blacktop road. And I drove all the way to what is now Veterans Memorial. Mm-hmm. And the Christian church sat on the corner. And they were having an all-night service celebrating Christmas. And I knew the pastor. He had tried to witness to me a few times. And I told him what had happened. And he says, Earl, you go back and get those people. He says, we'll get them a motel. They can stay all night. And so I drove all the way back to Chesterfield to tell them that I'd take them and get them a motel room. And the driver, the attendant at the service station came out, and he was chalk white. He says, you won't believe what happened. I says, what happened? He says, you hadn't been gone 2 minutes till a big black car pulled up, and these two were going to Denver. They had related to me. They were just strangers passing through going to Denver. And he says, this back driver got out of the car, came in, and says, okay, I'm going to take you to Denver. And I thought, what's going on? And after I got saved, I read in Hebrews 13:2, be careful when ye entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. And that shook me, because it wasn't a short time later, I gave my heart to the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, buddy, I love you.
I love you. I'm telling you, God loves you that much. He does love you that much. He loves you that much. Thank you, Earl. Wow, what a man. Well, listen, I'm going to bring Pastor Mike on up here. This is part two of a message that I started last week, and God has already given Pastor Mike the part two. So God bless you, my friend. Take us to the end. And give us a few extra minutes, if you would. Let the kids' church know till about 10 after. That would be great, okay, if you could do that.
Thank you, Pastor Barry. As Pastor Barry said, this is part two. The thing is, neither one of us knew it was part two till last Sunday. And, you know, we all have an attention span of about 32 seconds, so I know this is going to seem like a pretty bold statement, but I've never seen a worship service that fit in so well with the message that God has today. And what we experience in worship really fits with God's Word. And as Pastor Barry said, we were looking at, and in saying that, Pastor Mike, when he put those songs together, he had no idea what this was, because only Pastor Barry and I knew this Sunday, and then we passed it on to Pam and Cindy Monday. Otherwise, nobody knew that we were looking at Is God Too Big to Understand Part 2. But I was originally going to speak a couple weeks from today, and that wasn't going to work out. And there was some conflict, so Pastor Barry and I talked, and we moved it to today. So, of course, that compressed my time frame a little bit in getting ready, right? And then I was meditating on a passage of Scripture, and I really felt God lead me there, but at the same time, I didn't really feel a peace about it. And then last Thursday, Pastor Pam sent out her email, this is what's happening in SCRC this week, and she talked about what Pastor Barry was going to preach on last week. And there was no Scripture passage in there, but as I read that, I thought, I wonder if he's in my piece of Scripture there. So I sent him a text. I said, hey, by the way, what is your Scripture passage? And at first he said, why? He's been a little gun-shy since he had that message a few weeks ago where in the title of the message it had the word Trump. And that got called out by Gina saying, you're not going to talk about Donald Trump, are you? So he was a little gun-shy, and I said, no, I'll tell you why. Because I've been meditating over a passage of scripture, and I think you might be in it. So he said, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 40, 13 through 15. I said, okay. Because I was looking at Isaiah starting in verse 12. So I was like, okay. So I said, maybe that's why I don't have a piece about this. And as I started back reading into it, like I said, Sunday morning before we came to church, it hit me. And I sent him a text. I said, okay, I know what we got going on here. You got part one. I got part two. He said, okay, what are you going to talk about? And so I told him what it was. And he just kind of recapped what he talked about. The question was, is God too big to understand? And last week he talked about it was kind of a yes and no answer. Because there are so many mysteries that God doesn't reveal to us that we can't get our arms around it. And we just sang about what an awesome God to creation. Pastor Barry talked about how he's just breathing stars out. We don't necessarily get all that. But the one thing he wants to make sure we do get is the love that he has for us. That he loves each and every one of us. And so we're going to expand on that a little bit today. We're going to go a little bit further in Isaiah 40. Those verses coming up after that, after what Pastor Barry read last week, continues to go on about what God created, just how big he is. If you grew up in church, you heard omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You know, those three things are captured there because he is all powerful. He is all knowing. Okay? And he is everywhere. And that's what's hard for us to understand. But because of that, he is able to be with each and every one of us. So as we go on, I'm sorry, you guys pulled away from it. You could put the bulletin back up there real quick. So that's a picture from a few years ago of me and Eli. This is at City Museum. And as I thought about that, you know, as I thought about the scripture today, and this was, I actually had reshared it on Facebook a few weeks ago. And Carmen grabbed that picture and she put it on a plaque for me and gave it to me for Father's Day. And Bella, of course, she wanted to know where her picture was. And Carmen said, well, this is symbolic. And Bella said, what's symbolic? So we had to go into that a little bit. And we're going to go into a little bit today because what this shows is, you know, God has given me a great opportunity to be such a huge part of these kids' lives. And this was something Eli wanted to do. And as you can see, you know, I can't quite sure if his feet are going to make it on to that next pad or not, you know. My job is there to help him get across that and get him through to the other side. He wants to get to the other side. My job is to lead him through that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Maybe you got it still bookmarked from last week. We're going to start in verse 26. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. And I think this really captures the essence of the strength of God and yet the intimate nature of God. A God, as Pastor Barry said, he's still breathing stars out today. He's still creating, breathing stars out. And when he's calling them out, he doesn't call out, okay, I've got to get a few of these stars here. Come on with me. Maybe a couple of you. Come on. Get a couple over here. Come on. No, he's calling them out as an army. It says that he does not leave one out. That's how powerful he is. He calls each and every star out. But not only that, he's calling each one by name. Back when I was 19 years old, I worked for a company called County Bank of St. Louis. It was a large local bank. I worked in Clayton. I worked as a computer operator on third shift. After I'd been there for 9 months, I transferred over to the day shift. So after being on the day shift for a few weeks, and County Bank of St. Louis was like the centerpiece of a large local bank holding company. So I was asked to go over because the president of the holding company was going to be going into all the departments. He just wanted to meet with folks for a few minutes. So I was asked to go and to represent the computer operations area. So I walked over there. Next thing I know, here comes this large, tall man wearing a bow tie in. He spies me right away. He says, "I haven't met you before. I'm Drew Bauer." And that just blew me away. I'm some 20-year-old punk kid. And this guy, this is like, for where I worked at, this is the man. But when he sees me, he doesn't see me as someone who's just like an insignificant part of what's going on there. He spotted me right away. And he realized he had never met me before. And he came up and he made sure that he introduced himself to me. And for some of you who are, I know we have a lot of big Cardinal fans here, if that name means something to you, he was part of the group with Bill DeWitt back then that bought the baseball Cardinals from the Bush family. So he was a part of that. And I thought, wow, this guy wanted to know my name. Now, that made that kind of an impression on me. Think about someone who's so much greater who does know my name. God knows who I am. He knows that, I know you're Mike. I know where you live. I know your family. I know what's going on in your life. He knows who I am. So he's intimate yet powerful. Verse 27, "O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights?" Isaiah is admonishing Israel here. And a lot of what Israel went through throughout the Old Testament was all self-induced, right? God delivers them from a situation. Things go good for a while. And then they fall away. They start worshiping idols. They just start falling away from God. So they go back. They're in captivity. Things are difficult. God lifts them up again. And then it's a cycle. Up and down, up and down. So they think that God doesn't know what's going on. But God does know. He knows the suffering, what they're experiencing. And don't we do that today? Don't we do that today? We're going through a tough time. God, you just don't know what it's like. You haven't been through what I'm going through right now. But you know what? God does know. Because one of the things about the book of Isaiah is it foretells of a suffering servant that's going to be sent. God sent his son Jesus to earth. Jesus suffered as a man. He died. The ultimate suffering, he died on the cross. And he died an innocent man. But he took on our sins. He died for us. So I think God's got a pretty good idea of what suffering Israel's experiencing at this time. Verse 28, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood?" And if that sounds a little familiar, if you went home after Pastor Barry spoke and you read a little Isaiah 40 and went and caught back up, that same phrase is up in verse 21 where it says, "Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant?" Isaiah's reinforcing this here in verse 28. "Have you never heard? Have you never understood?" And real quick, I want to pause for just a second there. Our job is to make sure that people do hear God's word. Okay? We are to take that out to others. We had a great crew up here yesterday passing out flyers, going and hanging on doors for the event we have coming up on August 5th. I had the privilege, yes, I said privilege, of taking the youngins out. My crew started with me and Carmen, and we had Eli and Bella, Michaela, Patrick, and Chris Bowie. We hit 2,000 homes yesterday, folks, letting them know about what we've got going on up here. As a matter of fact, not only did we hit 2,000 homes, but before we left yesterday, is Cindy in here? Okay. I know we had at least two families that already went online and registered. While we were still handing flyers out, families had already went online and registered for the event. So I had youngins with me yesterday. And Carmen and Bella had to leave a little early, go to a birthday party. So I had me and four youngins. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't get a lot of flyers handed out because I was watching them. But it was great. It was such an experience. Now, Ben, Pastor Barry was going to bring me Bryce later. I said, you're going to have to keep Bryce. I got my hands full already. I got nothing against you, Bryce. Nothing against you, man. And they got it done. They got it done. But you know what? Those kids, as it was great, as, you know, Eli was kind of, wasn't too sure about going at first. And as we're doing it, he goes, you know what? This is kind of fun. This is kind of fun. Now, it was interesting watching because the boys, I just put them on the ground and pew, 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 they were gone. Split up. It was competition for them. Who's going to get the most flyers hung up? The girls were kind of kept together. Carmen shared with me later. She said, this is probably what I had to experience what I was like when I was their age. They would go up, a little flying bug would come around and they're, but you know what? Each one of those kids, I know, they did more than just hang door flyers. Because I know that each kid that was with me spoke to an adult about what we were doing. It wasn't just handing them a flyer. They actually, is Patrick in here? Patrick did an awesome job of, I watched him talk to two ladies. It wasn't just about what we were doing. He was talking to them about St. Charles River Church. Okay? It's our job to go out and make sure that there are not those who haven't heard. We need to make sure that everybody has heard. So have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. And when I saw that he doesn't grow weary, got to be honest with you, all I could think about was that Energizer Bunny. And if you remember, there was a period of time where they would show a commercial, the Energizer Bunny, still going. They would break away to another commercial. And then he'd come back to the Energizer Bunny. He's still going. That's our God that we serve. He's always going. He does not tire. He does not grow weak. He goes and he's always going. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So as you know, the men have been doing a study on the Louis Giglio book, The Comeback. And again, just shows how God fits everything in, because what we just talked about Tuesday night fits so well with this message today. It's talked about us getting up. We need to get up. And how God is there to pick us up. At the beginning of the study guide, at the beginning of it, it talks about how big over the past 10 years that mixed martial arts has become. And it said because of that, they've introduced the term tap out into our vocabulary. We know what it means to tap out. And I saw Dan here, so I don't want to upset him because I don't want him to make me tap out. I saw him. So I'm going to go over here because he's over there. I said, now I'm going to have to challenge Louie on this a little bit because I was a big professional wrestling fan. I saw tapping out long before MMA came around. Ric Flair locked that figure for a leg lock and you knew where guys tapping out, you know. But what he was talking about was we get in positions where we just don't feel we can take one more step and we're ready to tap out. But Jesus is there to pick us up. We have a God who is there to give us a strength. He doesn't want us to tap out. He just wants us to rely on him, trust in him. That we heard that word earlier, trust in him. So there was a passage of scripture that we looked at Tuesday night, and I'm going to jump over to it. Luke chapter 7. Verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. So Jesus has been out. He has been healing people. He has been teaching. He's got crowds just following him everywhere he goes. And he comes to this village called Nain. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. So as Jesus has been doing all this work, he's come across a funeral party. There's a person that's being taken to their grave. And the next line just carries so much meaning. There's just so much packed into this. The young man who had died was a widow's only son. So now we know we're looking at a funeral of a young man. Someone who died before, at too early an age is what we would say. We don't know how old he is. Excuse me. Just that we know he was a young man and he has died. But it's more than the fact that a young man has died. We see his mom is there, grieving. But she's not just an ordinary mom because she's a widow. Okay, so now she doesn't have a husband and she's just lost a son. Not any son, her only son. So for this woman, you know, back in the way things were at those times, you know, she had no rights. She couldn't own land. She didn't have her own means. And now she doesn't have a male in her life that can provide those means for her. Her husband's gone, and now her only son has died. And a large crowd from the village was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. He didn't just see this woman, and he's like, oh, I feel so bad for her. I have pity on her. I got to move on. I got this crowd following me. I got to keep going. No, he had compassion for her. His heart overflowed, it says, with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Now, when Jesus said, don't cry, that's not like when we tell our children, don't cry, because we told them they couldn't have something and they're crying about it. And we're like, don't cry about it. I don't want to hear about it, okay? That's not what Jesus was saying here. Jesus was saying, don't cry, because he knew what he was about to do. He knew there was going to be something come out of this. Verse 14, then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. Now that right there, these religious leaders wouldn't walk over and touch this coffin. That would make them unclean if they were to go and touch that coffin. That didn't stop Jesus at all. He went over, he touched that coffin and the bearer stopped. That means, all right, somebody's here. We're just going to stop. He stopped them. He touched the coffin. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. Jesus raised this young boy up. But he didn't stop there. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. See, because that was why he was doing this. He was doing this because his mother had lost her only son. This widowed mom had lost her only son. That's where his compassion was for her. It was not so much to just raise a young man from the dead. It was to raise him up, to give him back to his mom so that she could be taken care of. Okay. So let's go back to Isaiah 40. Verse 30. Actually, before we do that real quick, I want to tell another story about some of you I know have seen this on Facebook, because I picked it up off Sandy's Facebook page and shared it. And I know others have seen it and shared it now. An amazing video of a young man, Pastor Jason David, who's a pastor at Bonita Valley Community Church in California. Now, one thing is Pastor David, he's a musician, so he sings, he writes music, and he talks about, and as a matter of fact, if I had caught this before Friday morning, you all would be watching it right now. Unfortunately, I didn't see it until Friday, and there was no way I was going to go to Cindy and say, hey, can we pull this and see if we can slip this in? That just wasn't going to happen. But in the video, he talks about how he had wrote this song. And what he said was, I wasn't sure who I was writing it for, but you know, God had laid a song on his heart and he wrote this song. And shortly after writing it, he is stricken with cancer. And it's a cancer that was very aggressive and was just ravaging his body. He was in a wheelchair for a while. He said he couldn't walk. They said he might not walk again. And then it hit his tongue. They told him he might not sing again. He had to have part of his tongue removed. But you know what? God delivered him from that. And so in this video, he sings that song. And it's called These Walls. And the basic gist of the song is, there is nothing too big for God. There's nothing God can't overcome. And God delivered him from this cancer so that he could sing that song and touch lives. And I mean, I'll tell you what, I put it on Facebook. I know other people have grabbed it now and have ran with it. And the people have responded to when they watch it. They said, oh, I needed this. I needed to hear this. I needed to see this today. I'm going through something right now, and now I see what God has done in this man's life. Verse 30, even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. I like to joke about it. I'm 56 years old. I'm trying to raise a 7- and 8-year-old child, and I'm pretty exhausted a lot of times. But then my neighbors they're 32 years old and they're raising an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old and they're exhausted. So it's not just because I'm a little bit older than them. I sometimes think of, if we have any fans of Lethal Weapon movies out there where Sergeant Murtaugh says, I'm getting too old for this. That's how I think. I'm getting too old for this. But even young people experience times of where they get run down. They're weak. They're exhausted. So what do we do about that? Verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord, and in some versions it says, those who wait on the Lord, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God's going to lift us up, but not only is he going to lift us up, we're going to soar. We are going to soar above whatever has us down. But we have to trust. We have to trust in God in order for that to happen. Carrie, if we could get that bulletin cover back up for a second. If Eli is not trusting in me here, we're going to have a problem. Somebody's going to get wet, real wet, and probably not be real happy about it. And that would probably be me. If he doesn't trust in me and if he starts fighting me, we don't have a lot of room there for error there. It would be nothing to fall right off of those pedals there and to hit the water. And what you don't see there, but as we're doing, there's little fountains and things spraying you. So we're having to navigate through some obstacles. It's not just, oh, this is cute. Let's walk across here and we'll get to the other side. Okay, we got to navigate we got some challenges along the way. But you know what? Eli didn't fight me on this. And we made it to the other side. If we trust in God, he's going to get us to that other side. He's going to take us through the obstacles that we face, the water, the sprinklers, the fountains that are shooting at us or whatever. He's going to get us through that. And he's going to get us to the other side. And the thing that we did Tuesday night was called Get Up. It's up to us, though, to get up. We're the ones that have to go, and we have to put our faith and our trust in God.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.